Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki
jai.
Namacharya Shilhari Das Thakur ki
jai.
Prems Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi ki
jai.
Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki
jai.
Shri Vrindavan Dham ki
jai.
Shri Mayapur Navadip Dham ki Shri Jagannath Puri ki
jai.
Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki
jai.
Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi ki
jai.
Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai.
All glories to the seven devotees.
Jai.
All glories to the seven devotees. All glories to the seven devotees. Gaur Premanande
Hari Bhagavan.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Chaiva Narottamam.
Narayanam Chaiva Narottamam.
Sarasatim Vyasam,
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam,
Tato Jaya Mudiraye,
Tato Jaya Mudiraye,
Nashta Prayushu Bhadreshu,
Nashta Prayushu Bhadreshu,
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya,
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya,
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke,
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke,
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki,
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki,
Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow. Nice verse.
It's a different verse.
Well, yeah, I probably sent you the wrong one, but I like this verse very much. It's 10:8:46, right? There it is. Shiraju Vacha,
Shiraju Vacha,
Nanda,
Nanda,
Kim,
Kim,
Akarod,
Akarod,
Brahman,
Brahman,
Nanda Kim, Akarod, Pavam,
Nanda Kim, Akarod, Brahman,
Nanda Kim, Akarod, Brahman,
Nanda Kim, Akarod, Brahman,
Shreya,
Shreya,
Evam,
Evam,
Mahodayam,
Mahodayam,
Shreya, Evam, Mahodayam,
Shreya, Evam, Mahodayam,
Shodha,
Shodha,
Cha,
Cha,
Mahabhaga,
Mahabhaga,
Yashodha, Cha, Mahabhaga,
Yashodha, Cha, Mahabhaga,
Papao,
Papao,
Yasya,
Yasa,
Stanam,
Stanam,
Harihi,
Harihi,
Papao, Yasya, Stanam, Harihi,
Papao, Yasya, Stanam, Harihi,
Shri Rajuvacha,
Shri Rajuvacha,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Apayasyastanam Harihi,
Apayasyastanam Harihi,
Shri Raja Uvacha,
Shri Raja Uvacha,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Apayasyastanam Harihi,
Apayasyastanam Harihi.
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari.
Shri
Raju Vacha,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Shreya Evam Mahodayam,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Yashodha Cha Mahabhaga,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari,
Apau Yasya Stanam Hari.
Vaishnavis,
Shri Raju Vacha, Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman,
Shreya Evam
Shriya Evam Mahodayam Yashoda Cha Mahabhaga Papaya Sastanam Hari Nandakim Akaro Brahma Shriya Evam Mahodayam Yashoda Cha Mahabhaga Papaya Sastanam Hari.
Anyone else? Word for word translation. Shri Raja Vacha.
Shri Raja Vacha.
Maharaj Parikshit further inquired.
Maharaj Parikshit further inquired.
From Shukadeva Goswami.
From Shukadeva Goswami.
Nandaha.
Nandaha.
Maharaj Nanda.
Maharaj Nanda.
Kim.
Kim.
What?
What?
Akarod.
Akarod.
Performed.
Performed.
Brahman.
Brahman.
O learned Brahman.
O learned Brahman.
Shreyaha.
Shreyaha.
Auspicious activities.
Auspicious activities.
Like performing penances and austerities.
Like performing penances and austerities.
Evam.
Evam.
As exhibited by him.
As exhibited by him.
Maha Udayam.
Maha Udayam.
From which they achieve the greatest perfection.
From which they achieve the greatest perfection.
Yashoda.
Yashoda.
Mother Yashoda.
Mother Yashoda.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
Most fortunate.
Most fortunate.
Papau drank. Yasya,
yasya.
Of whom?
Of whom?
Stanam.
Stanam.
The breast milk.
The breast milk.
Harihi.
Harihi.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahman, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Would you like to repeat?
Yeah.
Having heard of the great fortune,
having heard of the great fortune
of Mother Yashoda,
of Mother Yashoda,
Parikshit Maharaj,
Parikshit Maharaj
inquired from Shukadeva Goswami,
inquired from Shukadeva Goswami,
O learned Brahman,
O learned Brahman,
Mother Yashoda's breast milk,
Mother Yashoda's breast milk
was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
What past auspicious activities?
What past auspicious activities
did she and Nanda Maharaj perform?
Did she and Nanda Maharaj perform
to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? In ecstatic love. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Gita. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, Chaturvida Bhajante Ma Jana Sukritino Arjuna. Without Sukriti or pious activities, no one can come to the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is approached by four kinds of pious men, Arto Jignaso Artarti Gyanicha. But here we see that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda surpassed all of them. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj naturally inquired, what kind of pious activities did they perform in their past lives by which they achieved such a stage of perfection? Of course, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are accepted as the father and mother of Krishna. Yet Mother Yashoda was more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, because Nanda Maharaj was sometimes separated from Krishna, whereas Yashoda, Krishna's mother, was not separated from Krishna at any moment. From Krishna's babyhood to his childhood, and from his childhood to his youth, Mother Yashoda was always in association with Krishna. Even when Krishna was grown up, he would go to Vrindavan and sit on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Therefore, there is no comparison to the fortune of Mother Yashoda, and Parikshit Maharaj naturally inquired, Yashoda Cha Mahabhaga. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sta
Apitam Nena Mutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sarajatam Sahagaranavitam Tansajivam Sadvaitam Sadvajutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu
Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Bhaktavinoda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rajuvacha, Nandakima Kurod Brahman, Shreya Eva Mahodayam, Yashodhacha Mahabhaga, Papa Yasyastanam Hari. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahman, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Today's topic is about attaining the spiritual world, the ultimate encounter.
Where every word is a song.
Where every word is a song and every gate is a dance. I quoted that verse the other day from the Brahma Samhita. Sriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo druma bhumish chintamani ganamayi toyam amritam kataganam natyam gamanamapi vamshi priyasaki chiranandam jyoti paramapi taraswadyam apicha sayatra shiradi sravati surapi pyashtisumahan nameshar jyakyo vavrachati nahi atrapi samayaha Bhaje Shweta Deepam Dhamahami Hagolokamityam Virantraste Shantakshiti Viralachara Katipaye. The description is given by Lord Brahma of the spiritual world. Sriya Kanta Kanta. Krishna's there and he's surrounded by the most beautiful goddesses of fortune, the gopis. Actually, the goddesses of fortune are expansions from the gopis. Gopis are the topmost of all devotees. Aradra Bhagavan Rajesha Tamiyas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajat Vidu Vargena Valkulpita. It was the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the highest method of worshipping Krishna was that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan. And they are, Krishna is surrounded by those gopis in Vrindavan. There are actually billions of gopis, but then there are categories of intimacy of those gopis. And all of them are serving him in loving devotion. Every word is a song. In fact, the music in Vrajadham comes about naturally. For instance, when the gopis are churning butter in the morning time, their bangles are swaying to the rhythm of the churning, and then they're singing also these heartfelt songs in glorification of Krishna in separation from him, thinking of him as they're churning butter and the bangles are moving. Then that sound enters into the atmosphere and it purifies the three worlds, and everywhere the rhythm is going on because it's every word and every step is meant for Krishna's service. Everyone's moving there out of love for Krishna. No other reason. And then the cows are giving abundant, they're giving oceans of milk, actually. And we talked about that the other day, how cows give milk out of affection. So the milk is flowing from the cows, and the flute is the favorite attendant. It means everywhere one can hear Krishna's flute, which is the origin of the Gayatri Mantra, which we find the Gayatri rhythm and the mantra, which comes into this world, actually descends from the spiritual world. Because Lord Brahma, who's the original creature in the universe, comes out into the world in darkness, as do all creatures. And he's born from the lotus stem, atop the lotus flower. And after looking for a long time for his source, finally he hears the instruction of Divya Saraswati. Divine Saraswati comes before him. Uvacha paratas tasmai tasya divya sarasvati kama krishnaya govinda he gopi jana ityapi balabaya priyavhane mantram te dasati priyam tapastam tapaetena tava siddhir pravishyati. And she says to him that take this mantra, perform tapasya by taking this mantra. Tapastam tapaetena tava siddhir pravishyati. If you chant this mantra, she gave him the Gopal mantra, which is mentioned in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad and also in the Brahma Samhita. And he began to chant that mantra. Tapastam tapaetena tava siddhir pravishyati. By chanting the mantra, then she said, you'll attain all perfection. And there's a purport to that given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to the verse that Saraswati says to Brahma, chant this mantra, you'll attain all perfection. And the purport says, its purport is clear. That's the purport. By chanting the mantra, then you'll get all things. Atate pe suchinam prinam govindam abhiyam shweta dipapatim krishnam golokastam paratparam prakritya gunarupinya rupinya paripasitam sahasradala samhane kuti kinjalka brimhite umis chintamanis tatra karnikare mahasane samasinam chidanandam jyoti rupam sanatanam. Then he began to perform this kind of tapasya by chanting the mantra. We have a perfectly good mantra. We're given. All you have to do is chant it. And in the same way, Brahma received this mantra and he chanted the mantra, which has the tendency to make one's mind run after Krishna. Or if one has material desires, it fulfills all those desires also, because the name of Krishna and the Krishna mantra are just like a touchstone, and Krishna fulfills everyone's desires. And after he chanted that mantra for a long time and meditated on Krishna in Goloka, then he received a direct vision of the spiritual world. Atavinu nanadasya trai muti maigati spuranti pravibhita shri mukham chani swayam bulaha gayatrin gayatas tasmat harigatya sarodita vijitam magamaktata. He became twice born because then he heard the flute song of Sri Krishna. After meditating on the mantra he had been given, then the flute entered within the, how many ear holes?
Eight
ear holes of Lord Brahma. And that flute song, that initiated him. Everyone's born once into this world from some mother or father or egg. And then the second birth comes when one takes diksha, initiation, and that diksha, actually hearing the mantra from a spiritual master, means hearing the flute song of Sri Krishna. He's the original initiator, passes that sound down. And then from Brahma came the Brahma Gayatri and also the Kama Gayatri mantra, which he spoke out loud. And these mantras reveal the ultimate goal, which is Krishna and our relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. Krishna is everything. Bahunam jamanamante gyanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudulabha. One, after many, many person deaths, comes to realize, if it's fortunate, that Vasudeva is everything, and then surrenders unto Vasudeva. But Krishna has various aspects. Vedanti tat tat vidas tatvam yaj gyanamad vayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. He's advaya gyan tatva. He's non-dual. Actually, everything's Krishna. All energies come from him and they all rest in him. And they're all ultimately Krishna. But there are various kinds of energies of Krishna. Parasya Shakti Vipadai Vishriyate Svabhavika Jnana Balakriyacha. They're variegated energies. And Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita, how there's the inferior energy, Bhumir Apu Anulo Vayu Kam Mano Bhudir Evacha Ahankara Ityam Me Bina Prakriti Rashida. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then he says, Aparayamitastanyam prakritim virime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yahidam tarite jagat. Above these inferior energies is the superior energy of the soul that's actually moving all the inferior energy. And Krishna has three aspects. His Brahman, impersonal effulgence aspect, the Paramatma, localized aspect within everyone's heart, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So according to the process that one executes in order to understand Krishna, one realizes a certain aspect of the Supreme. Those who are engaged in Jnana Yoga, in speculation to understand the Supreme Absolute, can come as high as Brahman realization. Those in Jnana Yoga can see the Super Soul within the heart. But those engaged in Bhakti Yoga come to know Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to engage in their relationship with Krishna. And according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically the demigods who offered prayers to Krishna within the womb, while Krishna was in the womb of Devaki, the demigods came and offered prayers to him, knowing that he was going to appear. And they said, Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhavada vashuddha buddhaya aruya krishnena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushvanangraya. That unless one re-enters the relationship with Krishna, and he's mentioned as lotus-eyed, means he's a person. Unless one re-establishes that personal relationship with Krishna, then whatever kind of liberation or whatever station one achieves in life through whatever method will not be permanent. Aruya Krishna, it's hard work to reach those positions. Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tata Patantyato Nadrisha Yushmanangraya. One will fall back down again from that position because one has not achieved this personal relationship with Krishna. So, the original problem, why I've come to the material world, is due to ignorance. And ignorance means ignorance. By ignoring Krishna, that's the problem. And then, being captured by the three modes of material nature, I become bound up. And there are various processes for freeing oneself from the cycle of work. There's karma yoga. And on the mental platform, there's jnana yoga. For the internal process, there's jnana yoga. But only bhakti yoga actually solves the problem addressing the original issue, which is ignorance of Krishna. One who turns one's attention back to Krishna and engages in relationship with him. So we're performing this kind of practice to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. The kind of sadhana that we're doing is actually meant to reawaken our original relationship with Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, Tannama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo pramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan raje tanaragi jananugami kalamna yad akilam ityupadesha saram. He gives the essence of all advice that one should organize one's full time, 24 hours a day, to hear about, chant about, remember the pastimes of Sri Krishna. And by this hearing process, Shravanam Kirtanam, one gradually comes to aspire to follow in the footsteps of a particular resident of Vrindavan. Tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami means that one becomes, through the hearing process, kind of sudden that we're doing, one comes to the position of following a particular resident of Vrindavan and living in Vrindavan. Doesn't mean that you have to physically live in Vrindavan also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only went to Vrindavan briefly. But he was always in Vrindavan. Dvaitacharya said that when he came to his house, he was tricked actually to coming to his house because he thought he was going to Vrindavan, and Nityananda told some cowherds to tell him which path was to Vrindavan, but was actually back towards Advaitacharya's house. And when he got there, he was in such ecstasy after he had taken sannyas. He thought he was in Vrindavan, and he saw the Ganga, and he thought it was the Jamuna. He took bath there, and then he saw Advaitacharya coming up on a boat. He said, "What are you doing here in Vrindavan?" And then he realized he had been tricked by Nityananda to come back. But Advaitacharya said, "Actually, wherever you are is Vrindavan. So it's not an issue." But devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami, devotees live in the spiritual world even when they're in this material world, those who have attained the perfectional stage. And he describes how there's a seed of bhakti within the heart of every living being. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuta Chite Hare Udoi. And by watering that seed through the process of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, the seed sprouts, turns into a creeper, and then it grows, and it can penetrate through the coverings of the universe, which are vast, and then it goes through the Viraja River, the demarcation between the material and spiritual world, enters into the effulgent realm of the Brahma Jyoti, up all the way to Krishna Loka planet, and then, as creepers are wont to do, it finds the lotus feet of Krishna and entwines itself on Krishna's lotus feet. And this creeper is nourished by Shravanadi Jal. Jal means water, and Shravanadi means the process of hearing and chanting. So by when you hear and chant, you're watering the creeper. And that creeper will grow all the way through the universe, and even if someone's walking in this world, he or she will be living in Vrindavan. This is the kind of liberation that takes place for one who is following this path of bhakti yoga, devotional service. So the kind of sadhana we're practicing, some people make a mistake and they say, "Well, you're practicing this kind of sadhana bhakti, oh, that's going to lead you to Vaikuntha." But actually that's not true. The kind of sadhana we're practicing is following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And it's meant to stimulate this kind of natural love within the heart for Krishna, this kind of rag bhakti, which is spontaneous attraction for Krishna. It's a spontaneous love. Twai me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvahatad dadda gangi vaugam udanviti. Queen Kunti describes it like the Ganga when it's overflowing during the monsoon season. It runs to the ocean without being hindered by anything. So those whose minds have been enlivened by this process of bhakti yoga and the association of pure devotees spontaneously run after Krishna in their minds and perform activities in harmony with the spiritual world. Prabhupada described it like starting a car. It would have to be Milan's car because he has a stick shift. And sometime if that car would stall, you have to push it. And when you push a stalled car, then you pop the clutch, and then it starts again. Do you know that trick? And so when it starts again, the energy comes back in the car. Boom, 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 boom. And then it goes. So Prabhupada gave this example that we're stalled, but the process of sadhana that we're doing is kind of it's a pushing process. We're pushing in the beginning because I may still be attracted, well, definitely still attracted to the material world. So by pushing, and then when the energy comes, then there's no more pushing. It's spontaneous. We're drawn spontaneously. So the kind of sadhana that we're doing, for instance, we worship Tulsi Devi, and we're asking to become her maidservant in the spiritual world. It's a very esoteric prayer, actually. And the kind of worship we're doing, we're worshiping Radha and Krishna. Actually, we're worshiping, at this point, in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. This kind of worship that we do, where everything's according to the padati, the archana padati, and we're offering certain kinds of things at a certain time with very opulent surroundings, this is Lakshmi Narayan worship. But this vidhi, or these rules and regulations, are meant to bring us to the point of spontaneous love for Krishna. Because within them, we're associating with all kinds of devotees from the spiritual world, like Tulsi Devi, who's a spontaneous servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. And by our association and by hearing and chanting in this environment, we'll reawaken that original love we have for Krishna. And so Prabhupada describes, in the beginning there's sadhana bhakti, rules and regulations, which is like a pushing process. And then gradually one becomes spontaneously attracted to waking up early and to coming to dress the deities and meditating about how to do that and doing other kinds of services for Krishna. And this is the natural propensity of the soul to engage in this kind of worship. But we're in an unnatural condition now. Just like water, when it's frozen, it's in an unnatural condition, so it needs to be melted. So this process will melt our heart so that we will be spontaneously attracted to Krishna. There are only two rules, actually, that are important, according to Rupa Goswami. There are many rules, of course, right? But he said, all of them are servants of two rules. One rule is, always remember Krishna, and the other is, never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So one has to find the ways and means to fix one's mind upon Krishna. Especially nowadays, because life can be challenging, right? There are many challenges and many distractions. And you have to be expert to organize your life in such a way that you stay in contact with Krishna. There are descriptions of devotees, as we're hearing here. Mother Yashoda was always with Krishna. And Krishna drank her breast milk, and she was constantly taking care of Krishna, always in contact. And the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly I was thinking this morning of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, great pure devotee of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was remembering him one day, and he began calling out his name. And none of the devotees, except for Mukunda, knew who he was. And he was calling out over and over again for Pundarik. And everyone thought maybe this was some kind of new mantra. And Mahaprabhu said that Pundarik was the topmost devotee. So Mukunda had grown up near him, and he knew his exalted position. And one day he told Gadadhar Pandit that he knew about a great pure devotee, and he asked him, would you like to meet him? And Gadadhar Pandit said, of course. He was a simple pure devotee, Gadadhar Pandit, also a very learned scholar. But he was very eager to meet a pure devotee. So Mukunda said, come with me. So he took him along to the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was often mistaken as a materialist because he lived in a very palatial house. And when Mukunda and Gadadhar Pandit entered that house, Gadadhar Pandit saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi stretched out on a beautiful bedstead. It wasn't just an ordinary bed. It was a fancy bed. It had the best kind of sheets and embroidery, and it was a carved bedstead. And all around the room, there were the topmost accoutrements for any room. Fancy lampshades and all kinds of drapery, embroidered, and gold, ivory, silver everywhere. And Pundarik himself was leaning back on the bedstead, being fanned by a couple of servants, and his hair was oiled with scented oil. And Gadadhar Pandit was a simple devotee. When he came in the room and was confronted with this situation, Mukunda was here. Here's the pure devotee. And Gadadhar Pandit looked, and in his mind he thought, this is the pure devotee? He looks just like a sense enjoyer. So Mukunda immediately understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. And to invoke the ecstasy of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he recited a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakalakutam. This verse is about how kind Krishna is, that he killed the demon demoness Putana, but by sucking her breast, he also accepted her as mother and gave her liberation. And therefore, Sri Uddhava says to Krishna, who would take shelter of anyone besides Krishna because he's so kind? When he recited this verse aloud, and it entered within the ears of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went into a transcendental fit. The ecstatic emotions welled up in him like a huge tsunami wave, and he was washed away by it. He began thrashing in the room. Nothing was spared. Not one lampshade. The sheets, beautiful sheets, were scattered everywhere, and 8 of his servants came in to try to constrain him, but were unable to. And he thrashed, flailing his arms in ecstasy out of separation from Krishna in every direction, breaking everything in the room. Until finally, he fainted and stayed in an unconscious state for many, many hours. When Gadadhar Pandit saw this, that he had heard one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and got into this state, he immediately felt, I've made an offense. In my mind, I've offended a pure devotee. And he became fearful. On the way back to the village, he told Mukunda, I've made an offense, and therefore I wish to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. This will clear my offense. So Mukunda took Gadadhar Pandit to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him Gadadhar Pandit's idea, and Mahaprabhu said, yes, very good, do it at once. So Gadadhar Pandit became a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And there was an initiation ceremony. This is the spontaneous nature of the devotees. They may appear externally to live in this world, to interact in this world. Ramananda Roy was a government man. But when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became overwhelmed with spontaneous loving devotion. And he was the Shiksha Guru for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was a householder, he was a governor. And the devotees, therefore, live in this world, but within their hearts, they develop this pure love for Krishna, spontaneous love for Krishna, and are always thinking of him. And as we heard in this verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this kind of devotional service, Araja Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayas Tadhama Vrindavana Ramya Kachirupasana Vrajavudu Vargena Vakalpita, that was displayed by the gopis, this was the best kind of devotional service. Krishna, many people are trying to remember Krishna and performing all kinds of austerities. The gopis are trying to forget Krishna, because so much pain and separation from him. There's a kind of madness that comes up within them when Krishna sent Uddhava back to Vrindavan. He did it for a reason. He sent a note back to the gopis because they were feeling so much separation from him he sent Uddhava there with a note for the gopis. And actually, he sent Uddhava there to see the standard of devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan. Because Sri Uddhava was a topmost devotee. But he didn't know about this even higher level of devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan, this kind of spontaneous and constant madness that they had in remembering Krishna. So Krishna wanted him to see that. Specifically, he wanted to see that because when Krishna left the planet, he wanted Uddhava to teach this kind of devotion to others. He sent him to Badrik Ashram after he left, because there were some devotees there that hadn't had Krishna's association while he was on the planet and wanted Uddhava to teach them. So he wanted him to see this kind of devotional service and teach it to the world. So when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he brought a note for the gopis. And when they were gathered around Uddhava to hear the note, Uddhava noticed how Srimati Radharani was in some kind of ecstatic state, so that she began speaking to a bumblebee. The bee flew in and she talked to it. She said, "You're an unreliable servant of an unreliable master." She began chastising the bee because she perceived that there was some kumkum, reddish hue on the bee, and she thought that was kumkum that came from touching Krishna's garland, which had touched the breasts of some of her rivals. And she chastised the bee. And then the bee flew away. And then she began to lament. "Oh, maybe the bee has gone back to tell Krishna what I said. Please, bee, come back." There's a kind of madness going on like this. And Uddhava observed all this. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he was the strictest of sannyasis, but he had exalted the gopis of Vrindavan as being the best servitors of the Lord. So in the spiritual world, this kind of spontaneous attraction for Krishna is the natural flow of devotion that's always present. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we can hear the actual story of someone who went back to Godhead, who went to Goloka Vrindavan. And how does it take place? Actually, Gopu Kumar is the great hero of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Was a very simple person. Came from a very simple family. He was uneducated. He didn't know anything about the universe, demigods, anything. There was a family deity. What family deity did he and his family worship? Durga. They had a Durga deity they were worshiping in the village. And one night, while he was sleeping, this Durga deity came to him in a dream and said, "Here, take this mantra." Now, he didn't even know what a mantra was. But out of some feeling of gratitude that someone exalted had come and given him a gift, he began chanting the mantra. And as the story goes, the mantra takes him from one place to the next. And every place he goes, he thinks, maybe this is my final destination. But then he begins to feel a slight dissatisfaction in every realm that he goes to. And he goes to every realm of the universe, including the coverings of the universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Each one of these realms actually has a deity present in it. And there's a very particular kind of mood and feeling of worship in those realms. He covers the entire universe. From one place to the next, each place feeling a little dissatisfaction, and he continues to chant his mantra. Now what's happening is actually the mantra itself, his Gopal mantra, is bringing him back to Godhead. This is very instructive. As I said in the very beginning of class, tapas ton tapa etena tava siddhir bhavishyati. This was the instruction that Brahma received at the beginning of the universe. Chant this mantra, do this kind of tapasya, concentrate on this mantra, and you will get all perfection. All perfection means reestablishing your relationship with Krishna. And as I also mentioned, we have a perfectly good mantra. You just have to chant it. Do the tapasya. That's the tapasya. Chant the mantra. Gopakumar chanted the mantra, and whatever situation he got in, Krishna was bringing him closer and closer to Vrindavan. And one doesn't have to worry about positioning oneself particularly, as we noted, as we can note from Gopakumar, when he got to Vaikuntha, for instance, he met Lord Narayan. Now, Gopakumar was a cowherd boy, actually, from Govardhan. He's meant to be in Vraj, not in Vaikuntha. But he came to Vaikuntha in his travel back to Goloka Vrindavan. While he was there, he saw Lord Narayan, but the way he saw him was in a spontaneous way. He thought of his Gopal when he saw Lord Narayan. And in fact, Lord Narayan was so overcome by the love and the spontaneous affection of Gopal that it was hard for him to keep his four arms. He kept manifesting two arms, like, because this is the nature of Krishna. He's so much attached to his devotees and affected by them that according to the love that they give for him, he shows himself in a particular way. One day when the gopis were looking for Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, he tried to hide from them by manifesting his form as Lord Narayan. And when they saw him, they saw Narayan, they were mad after Krishna, they simply got down off of their basins and says, you know, Namo Namaha, have you seen Krishna? And they kept going. When Srimati Radharani came along, she also offered obeisances, but he couldn't maintain the Narayan form. Her love was so pure and strong that he had to revert to the form of Krishna as a response. So when Gopakumar saw Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, he wanted to run up and hug him, as he would in Vrajadham. The devotees hug each other. There's spontaneous love there. In the Vidhimarg, and there are many rules and regulations, how to offer things to Krishna, many mantras, many mudras. If you go to South India, you'll see so many different rituals that you have to do to worship the Lord in this awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. I've seen in Govardhan, I saw one in one household, they bring the boga to offer to the deity, their little Govardhan Shila, and they have a little Gopal deity. And the woman just put the food down and just, eat, Krishna, eat. And one day when I was at a Mukutwala in Vrindavan, I was sitting there waiting for some paraphernalia for the man to bring back from the back. And some lady came and sat down in the shop, and she had a little basket, and inside there was a little Gopal deity, and she had flowers in there and little cows and some sweets and stuff. And I was chanting or looking somewhere else, and I heard her talking, and I thought she was talking to somebody. She was. I turned around, she was talking to her deity. Just kind of going on, there's la, she did. Hold on. So Gopakumar had this kind of spontaneous feeling, and he ran to embrace Narayan, and the residents of Vaikuntha said, what are you doing? We don't do that here. We offer with reverence. Sahasra shirsha purusha sahasra sahasra pada sabhuminga shatavritvara tishtata shangulam. You know, and he was, Gopa! Running to embrace him. So they all stopped him. Later, Narada Muni came to him and he informed him, called him aside. And he said, you know, you can't do that here. But he said, let me tell you a secret. You're the most fortunate person. You're the most fortunate person. You have a destination. It's actually the highest place. It's Goloka Vrindavan. And we follow the journey of Gopakumar when he goes back to Godhead, actually, having gone everywhere else, when he enters into Goloka Vrindavan, it doesn't look different from the earthly Vrindavan, not at all. It doesn't look particularly opulent or special in any way. It looks like an ordinary realm. And as he's walking into Goloka Vrindavan, he meets an elderly couple. And he's looking for the abode of Nanda Maharaj. So he's inquiring about where he is and how to get around there. So he asks the elderly couple a question, and they don't answer him. So first he thinks, maybe, you know, did I say something wrong? Or maybe they're just rude. They won't speak to me. I'm asking a simple question. And he goes further, and finally he meets an elderly gopi and inquires from her. And she reveals that these people, and most of the people in the village, they can't talk because Krishna has left the village for the day and has gone to the forest and is herding his cows there with his friends. And out of separation, they're so affected that they can't speak. And he comes into the village, and all the people there are moving very slowly. And out of separation, they're practically in a dead condition because Krishna has gone away for the day to herd cows. And then soon afterwards, he sees the village come alive because they've all seen the dust raised by the hoofs of the calves, of the cows, in the distance, and they know this is the sign that Krishna is coming back from the forest with his friends. And as they come closer, Gopakumar sees that that's Krishna. He hears the flute song, and as Krishna, his eternal friend, comes closer, Gopakumar recognizes him, and Krishna recognizes Gopakumar. And he comes closer and closer, and then Krishna embraces Gopakumar, but then he faints out of ecstasy, having seen his friend, being united with his friend. He faints. And all of the other devotees think that maybe this was some dastardly deed. Maybe this is some demon sent by Kamsa. And what has he done to Krishna? There he is, fainted. Maybe he's done something to Krishna. And everyone stops. The birds in the sky begin to cry out. It almost sounds like human beings crying out, the way they sing, out in agony that they see Krishna lying on the ground. And all the other devotees then come rush around Krishna to see what's happened. And while Krishna is lying on the ground of Vraj, in ecstasy, having seen his friend, the ground around him has become wet because there are tears of ecstasy coming from his eyes. And Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, looks at the situation and realizes what has happened. So he takes Gopakumar's hand and he cleanses the dust from Krishna's body. And then Krishna comes back to his full consciousness and he embraces Gopakumar, and Gopakumar embraces him. There's a picture of that, actually, going back to Godhead, where Krishna's embracing Gopakumar. And then Krishna takes him by the hand and says, you stay with me always. We'll never be separated again. And then he takes him back to his house, and everywhere he goes with him. And he's eternally with Krishna. So we're meant, actually, to go back to the spiritual world, to be reunited with Krishna. It's not that there's only a limited amount of space, either. Krishna is Yogeshwara Yogeshwara. He's unlimitedly accommodating. And just as in this world, every living being is magically accommodated. Right now, here in the city of Toronto, I can guarantee you that there are billions of ants, even despite the cold, who are eating right now. They're having their ant meal. And who's feeding them all? And somewhere else, there are elephants, not many left, but there are some elephants, and they're eating, and they eat tons and tons, and Krishna's feeding them. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidatati kamam. He's supplying for every single living entity everywhere within this material world. And in the spiritual world, he expands himself to accommodate every one of his parts and parcel living entities out of loving devotion. So this sadhana bhakti that we're practicing here, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, who is the direct disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, leads us back to that place, Goloka Vrindavan. Since everyone's leaving, I'll take questions. Hare Krishna. A question or a reflection? Yes. Do we have a microphone? Go ahead and I'll repeat the question until the mic comes.
How do we develop spontaneity?
How do we develop spontaneity? When we perform the regulated devotional service, practice of regulated devotional service, then this leads to the spontaneous devotional service. So there's devotional service in practice, there's devotional service in ecstasy, and there's devotional service in pure love of God. And in the beginning, we're performing devotional service in practice. And that practice gradually will become more spontaneous, and we'll have a rather than just pushing, because in the beginning, just like when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it may not taste good, it may be even seem like work. And Rupa Goswami says, Sat Krishna nama charitari sitapta vidya pitopa tapta rasanasena rochikanu kintvavarad anudilam kalu saiva justa svadvikramad pavati kal. Svadvi kramad bhavati tad. Galamula hantri. That there's a disease, jaundice, that affects the body so that everything tastes bitter, even including sugar juice, sugarcane juice, which is a curative for jaundice. But as you continue to drink it, then it'll become sweet. Shravanadi shuddha chitte. So the hearing and chanting is the process through which we purify the heart, cheto darpana marjanam, and the layers become purified, and that spontaneous nature of our service comes forth. And by serving the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras, in other words, if you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Radha and Krishna combined, and his mood is the mood of the gopis. He is Radha and Krishna. And he's Krishna, but he comes as a devotee, and he's acting like a devotee. So Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, if you serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of servitude, by serving his lotus feet, naturally the spontaneous love for Radha and Krishna will come into your heart. Okay? Yes.
Another part, what's the breaking point of pure devotion to God?
What's the breaking point?
Yeah, where is the breaking point of just service to God and pure devotion?
That's described by Rupa Goswami and also commented on by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a great science, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu elaborates on this, but in general there's a progression of advancement in devotional service described Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhusangata Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivritti Set Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Tato Bhavas Tato Atasaktis Tato Bhavas Tata prema yadanshati. So, from Shraddha to prema, there are various stages of advancement, and they're described as a thickening of one's faith. And we talked about in the last couple days how one begins the process of devotional service with Shraddha. Shraddha means faith, and that comes from Agyata Sukriti, getting unknown pious credit, bhakti credits, bhakti points, from associating or doing service, even unknowingly, to devotees. And then from that comes a desire to associate with devotees. From that, one takes up the regulated process of devotional service, bhajana kriya. You take a vow, and you stick to it, and then you struggle for a long time. Long time. Because Krishna doesn't give away devotional service so easily. It's not a cheap thing. Because when he gives devotional service, Rupa Goswami says, one of the characteristics of pure devotional service is it's rare. It's rare. Because when Krishna gives pure devotional service, he gives himself. From that long period of struggle, as one continues, then comes nishta. You go from anishta, unsteady, and then you become nishta. And then you're not disturbed. You may see within yourself there's a residue of these past desires and habits, but they can no longer affect you. You're standing on your own two feet. The winds of desire can't move you. They can't knock you over. You've become heavy. And after that, you get ruchi, which is a very positive attraction to Krishna. It's like you push something, a barrel uphill, and it's hard, hard, hard. Once you get it to the top, ruchi means the barrel rolls down by itself. That's what Prabhupada means when he says you push the car, and then you pop the clutch, and then the energy comes. When the energy comes, that energy is coming from the internal energy. Mahatmanastu mam parta daivim prakritim ashrita. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Mahatmas, the great souls, are under the protection of the internal energy, daivim prakriti. So that internal energy is called the Surup Shakti, and it's a mixture of Hladini, the internal pleasure-giving potency of the Lord, and Samvit, knowledge. So you get this particular ability to understand Shastra, and then you feel the pleasure of serving Krishna, actually. Param Jushvanavartate, it's a higher taste. And when you have this ruchi, then comes asakti, or attachment, and then bhava. Or is it bhava and then asakti? No, asakti and then bhava. So then bhava is described, that there are various symptoms of bhava. These are road signs on the path as you're moving along. Shantir of Yarta Kalatvam. Viraktir mana shunyata. Ashabanda kala shanta. Namagana sadaruchi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu elaborated on what are the symptoms of bhava. What does it actually feel like when you come to these various stages? It's very particular. As an example, in bhava, an advanced stage of devotional service, avyarta kalatvam, it means that you have this intensity that you don't want to waste a second outside devotional service. Avyarta kalatvam, you have this aversion to being distracted from your service even for a second. And virakti means that you become detached from all kinds of things that are not related to devotional service. Ashabandha, you develop this intense kind of hope. Ashabandha is a very specific thing. It means that even though you realize you're unqualified, you're not in the varnashram, you can't perform any kind of Ashtanga yoga, you have no learning in Sanskrit or anything else, you have no qualification, but still you have this burning hope that Krishna will give mercy because he's all merciful. He's all powerful and all merciful. So Ashabandha means you develop this constant hope for Krishna's special mercy. Namagana Sadaruchi means that you have this taste for chanting the name and hearing about Krishna's pastimes. Sometimes it's said, if you want to clear a room, just pull out a Bhagavatam and start reading. That's not bhava. was like, oh, I gotta go. I think I gotta. I remember I left my bowling ball somewhere and I gotta polish it today. So, whatever. You know, the mind runs away. It's not spontaneously attracted yet. But there is a stage after Nishta that the mind becomes spontaneously attracted. And past that, then one becomes positively attracted to Krishna, attached to him, asakti. And then there's thickening where one starts thinking, Krishna's mine. Mamata means that there's a feeling within the heart that, you know, he's mine. That's my Krishna. One becomes, you know, particularly attracted and attached to Krishna in a particular way. And past these stages comes prema. And there are various stages of prema also. But those are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the esoteric symptoms of prema and what someone who's in that stage of life is like and what it's like for them. So there are signs. Now the question always is, how do I get to that position? And the answer always is, act properly in the according to the qualification you have now. Sway sway adhikari ya nishta saguna parikirtita. Krishna told Uddhava that this is a good quality if you act according to your adhikari, what you're qualified for now. Don't worry about the higher stages, but do what you can now. And you'll be promoted. We get promoted, that's how we move forward. It's not by our own power, but we get promoted in devotional service. Just like when you work for a corporation. If you do really good work, go out of your way, for the whole, then somebody's going to notice you and mention it to the boss. And he's going to say, give that man a promotion. So we do devotional service like that. Don't try to see Krishna like the Ashtanga yogis and all the other kinds that, of elevationists who are trying to jump up and see God. But the bhakti yogis act in such a way that Krishna will want to come and see us. And particularly that means working under good guidance and pleasing our immediate superiors, because that's how Krishna works. Through the chain of command. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With Prabhu's earlier question about being spontaneous, and as you were explaining that, an analogy came to my mind about when the farmer digs a well, initially he's got to prime that well, he's got to put water into it, so that the water that's deep in the earth is then drawn up, and then it comes up automatically the minute you push the lever, and it just comes naturally, it flows easily. And in a very similar way, initially we have to, invest into it, we have to put our energies and follow the rules and regulations until it becomes natural to us. We don't have to push for it, it's just there, constantly.
Yes, that's a really nice example.
Thank you again for wonderful class. I just was thinking of something when you mentioned that the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to go to Vrindavan. So very often as devotees it's very easy to tell people, you don't have to really go to Vrindavan. Whenever we are chanting, that's Vrindavan. But it's very difficult to actually be in that consciousness. And we make so many plans to go to India and make sure we visit Vrindavan. Come back and say, oh, I went to Vrindavan, I went to, Mayapur, and like, oh, you haven't been to Vrindavan, ask people. So I think it's very difficult to maintain that consciousness all the time. And even when we get to a holy place, we still act like we're in Toronto. So really, how do we have to be very careful about this kind of pragmatic as a way of life. It's very easy to say. And I personally really don't know how to maintain myself in Vrindavan all the time.
So what's the question?
The question is, do you have any tips on how to maintain that consciousness?
Yes, I do.
And not be very casual about saying it.
Yes, I do. Shall I say it? Sankirtan. Sankirtan is a way of life. Sankirtan is a way of life. It's a Sankirtan. So it means the Samyak Kirtan. It means the complete Kirtan. It means joining together to glorify Krishna in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. And organizing your life, scheming how to give Krishna consciousness to others, how to broadcast Krishna's fame, puts you in Vrindavan. You get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by seeing the miracle of how his internal energy is working. You see it for yourself. If you hear it from others, it's not the same. But when you see it for yourself, like yesterday, we were in Vrindavan. What was that last place we were at, that mall?
Dufferin Mall.
Dufferin Mall was Vrindavan. No question about it. Everyone felt it. And when I got there, I felt just complete ecstasy. The sun came out briefly, and it was so beautiful. The devotees were dancing on the street corner, and the sound was something just otherworldly, and everyone knew it. One guy drove by, people were driving by looking, and one guy drove by, rolled down his window, and goes, "It's a party, where's the beer?" And I heard Nirkula say, "We don't need beer." And then, you know, being out there with the devotees and everyone working together to distribute books to others, the mood that's created it and the miracles that you see happen in that, you witness the internal energy. And this is the feeling in Vrindavan. It's a mood, actually. It's a mood. You know, there are people who live in Vrindavan who are, you know, part of the mafia, and they go around killing people there over land disputes and stuff. They don't really live in Vrindavan. But if you take to the Sankirtan, in one way or another, just organize your life so that you know you're thinking of how to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, very specifically how to give Krishna consciousness to others. This kind of outpouring and giving to others, the preoccupation with that, it takes your mind to Vrindavan, and Lord Chaitanya will give you that vision. This is stated by Karvajana Muni when he talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in two verses, Deyam Sada Paribhavaknam Abhishta Doham Tirtaspadam Shiva Varinchi Nutam Sharanyam Brityarti Ham Pranatapala Kabhapipotam Bande Mahaprushite Charanaravindam. In that verse, glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, if you bow down to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you get the result of going all to all the holy tirtas. And there are commentaries on that verse by the acharyas in which they say it may be very difficult to go to Vrindavan physically for many people in this age of Kali especially, and there may be poor people who can't afford it in many different kinds of countries. They're never going to get an airplane ticket, let's speak of a visa. And however, it doesn't matter. If you worship Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet through Sankirtan, that's his process, you'll live in Vrindavan. So the more you enter into the mood of Sankirtan, you're entering into Vrindavan. Prabhupada confirmed it. Rameshwar, years ago, was preaching this about how this is the mood of Vrindavan, Sankirtan. This is the mood of the gopis, he was even saying, and people, whoa, hold on a minute. What are you talking about? We're just selling books, you know. You've gone too far now. You've gone over the edge. So Nandalal wrote to Prabhupada and said, you know, here's what he's saying, and, you know, he put it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back and said, yes, Rameshwar has the correct mood. That this Sankirtan, this mood of distributing Krishna to others, this is the mood of the gopis. It's the Vrindavan. So Sankirtan is the way to get there. And serving the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only way in the age of Kali Yuga to actually worship Radha Krishna. And that's what we're doing. Even Narottam Das Thakur says, when I understand and enter into the mood of worshiping Krishna the way that the Goswamis have given, then I'll understand Vrindavan. There's no other way. Because they're coming from the spiritual world. They're associates of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, and they're giving us the process. So if we follow that, then we'll easily enter into that mood of Vrindavan. That's the great benediction of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Is that right?
Simple.
Simple. It is really simple, yeah.
just wondering if you can maybe... I have actually two questions.
One at a time, though. That's all I could accommodate.
In connection to making spiritual promotion, can you maybe say something about what it means to first deserve that desire, that kind of spiritual promotion?
First deserve to... Well, promotion, anyway, there's a... I think I saw the quote out here, but one time in Chicago, devotees were going out on Sankirtan doing book distribution, and there was a lot of austerity in doing it because of, the atmosphere at the time. Sometimes we were getting beat up by the police and other kinds of things. And Prabhupada wrote, and he said, just like a farm boy in the middle of America who grows up in obscurity, nobody knows who he is, and he'll never amount to anything, guaranteed. But then he joins the military, and they send him to the front lines, and he does a heroic act. And then he's sent back home, and all over the newspaper he's advertised as this national hero, and he becomes famous. And now he's, a hero. So Prabhupada said, those who are, insignificant, they join Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and they do something heroic. Go out and spread Krishna consciousness. So that's heroic. Go out and save people. That's also most heroic, to save yourself. When I see the brahmacharis sitting there over in a little circle, it's very satisfying. Nityai Ram, don't mind, but sitting there, like fixed on chanting the holy name, and you're all sitting around him, and that's heroic. Prabhupada said there's two kinds of heroes in this world. One kind of hero is the uncontrolled sense enjoyer, and he becomes exalted as, the greatest person, because he can do anything. He has money, and he'll trash the hotel room and then run around with whoever he wants to, and this person's in the newspaper is heroic. And the other kind of hero is the one who controls his senses. How many people are sitting in a little circle concentrating for 2 hours on the holy name? That's heroic. So that kind of heroism, day in, day out. And then when you have that, then you have some power to go out and actually offer something to other people. Due to your heroism and sitting, controlling your senses, then you have something to offer people. And when you do that, you express it, and you go out and give it to other people, then Krishna recognizes you. Just like Prabhupada said, you become a hero, and you're promoted. So the deserving part comes from even when you control your senses. And you do this process, and you do it all the time, and you do it even when you don't want to do it. And that's how people become great. They do things that other people don't want to do. Most people do the easy thing, or they back out at the last minute. A lot of people almost do something. Yeah, I almost did that. I thought of that years ago. Why didn't you do it? No, I don't know. I'm busy, I almost did it. Yeah, big deal. It doesn't count. When you actually do it, you make the sacrifice. You can decide within that second. It's that I'm hit the clock, go back to sleep, or I'm getting up and I'm going to do this thing. And you do it day in, day out. Then you become deserving. And you know it too. You know it. You feel it. You know you did the austerity. And of course, a devotee is advancing, feels unworthy. That's one of the qualifications. You feel, I don't deserve this. And the mercy pours down on you because you did it. As I talked yesterday, there's 2 inches. One's your effort. The other's Krishna's mercy coming down. So, be a hero. Start, do the day in, day out struggle it takes to do that, Even people who start big companies and corporations, it doesn't just happen, Steve Jobs started off with the Apple thing. He was running around in bare feet trying to sell some, real primal edition of what a personal computer was going to be. And he took to these big companies and they said, beat it, kid. Who the heck are you? Get out of here. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll work for you. And they said, we don't want to see you here. Go away. So with some other colleagues, and they, you know, from one thing led to the next, and it was a struggle. You know, people who start big projects and do big things, they struggle. They get up early, they stay up late at night. And spiritual life, it's the same thing. You go through this process of, you know, become deserving. Do the work. And then you'll be able to enter into the, you know, be able to appreciate. And what's the second question?
I think all my questions are answered.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I didn't want to stop the class because it's our last one, and I'm attached to being here with everyone, and sad thinking about tomorrow of getting in the car and going to the airport and leaving again. But it's been a magical weekend again. There's so many images I have in my mind of the things that we did that they can't be taken back down. They're in there. This is part of the spontaneous nature, is when, you know, you have these experiences with all the devotees on Sankirtan. You know, the image of that mall yesterday and the chanting and the books going out and everything like that. You know, these kinds of things, they accumulate. They actually lead to spontaneous devotion. They lead to a desire to go to Vrindavan, and Krishna will let you in if you do these things. And I thank you for letting us be a part of this exciting, dynamic thing that's happening here, that's growing. It's unique, and it's the most important special thing in the universe. It's like a, you know, the growth of a beautiful flower that's being offered to Krishna. So all glories to your service, how you're all working together and taking care of each other. Please go on doing the little things that make a difference in the other devotees' lives. That's what I see here. Devotees are very caring. When I come here, I feel like a bull in a china shop, because I see how nicely you all treat each other. And that's also noticed by Krishna, especially that how devotees have loving devotion and treat each other with kindness and encouragement. So keep doing that. And you have Dharma Pran Prabhu here, who is an example of this day in, day out, do your devotional service. And I was just thinking, you know, I was watching Hara Kumar Prabhu this morning carrying Tulsi off into the dark, coming back, and I was thinking these are the unsung heroes who make up the foundation of ISKCON, you know. And then I was thinking, it's just a waiting station here. You know, gradually devotees, the body will grow old and fall off. And Krishna has a plan for all these devotees who are worshipping Tulsi, cooking in the kitchen, taking care of Sankirtan, fixing the vans, doing all these things, the accounting. All these things are directly taking us back home, back to Godhead. So just... If you can get fortunate enough to get a stake in this thing that you have here, and then keep it and try to increase it as much as you can by praying and doing your daily austerities, then it's the path back home, back to Godhead. Go Premanande Haribabha. Thank you very much. Hare
Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna,
Sometimes I'm telling you, I'm going to say, 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 I'